chocolate bar.
I got a quarter.
I got a rock.
Trick-or-treat!
Gee, I got a candy bar.
Boy, I got 3 cookies.
Hey, I got a package of gum.
I got a rock.
Trick-or-treat! I got a popcorn ball.
I got a fudge ball.
I got a pack of gum.
I got a rock.
Just gather round and I'll elucidate on what goes on outside when it gets late.
Long about midnight, the ghosts and banshees will get together for their nightly jamboree. There's things with horns and saucer eyes, some with fangs about this size.
Some are fat and some are thin.
And some don't even wear their skin.
Oh, I'm telling you, brother, it's a frightful sight to see what goes on Halloween night.
Who killed my sister? Who killed the Witch of the East? Was it you? I'll get you, my pretty. And all wrong, too. When I gain those woolly slippers, my power will be the greatest in Oz.
For the purpose of education, review, and critique, the Shiny Squirrel Podcast proudly presents Spooky.
Hey,
Spooky.
It's Halloween, and I am Spooky WC Chronicles, and we're going to be looking at a few of our favorite songs from Halloween.
I'm a creepy goblin, Jersey Mike, because Halloween is like going into the Great Pumpkin Patch, Charlie Brown. You never know what's going to come out, what goes.
You never know what's lurking around the corner. You never know what's lurking around the bend, but it's something there. So we're going to... What we're going to do is we're going to share a few of our favorite songs and a few of our favorite stories of something from our past, just because it's Halloween and we can.
And we're going to, as nerdlings. You like it, listen, if not, still listen.
So, the first one, Monster Mash, Bobby Boris Pickett, 1962.
How can you not love the Monster Mash? I mean, that's on so many movies, the Monster Mash.
I think it's got to be one of the most iconic Halloween movie songs.
Listen, Senior Nerdling, that's in so many different things, like killing scenes and innocent scenes and spooky scenes and people coming to the house and getting scared scenes and parties. We did the Monster Mash. I mean, like you said, that's just iconic. I don't know how these guys came up with that, but that is superb for Halloween.
Working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash,
he did the Monster Mash,
the Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash,
he did the mash,
it caught on in a flash,
he did the mash,
he did the Monster Mash. From my laboratory in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash,
they did the Monster Mash,
the Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash,
they did the mash,
it caught on in a flash,
they did the mash,
they did the Monster Mash. Zombies were having fun
in a shoebox.
The party had just begun
in a shoebox.
The guests included Wolfman,
in a shoebox.
Dracula and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hound. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Killer Five.
They played the mash,
they played the Monster Mash,
the Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash,
they played the mash,
it caught on in a flash,
they played the mash,
they played the Monster Mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash,
it's
now the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the Mash.
It's got horn and it's loud.
It's now the Mash.
It's now the Monster Mash. Now everything's cool, that's a part of the band. And my Monster Mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them what is said.
Then you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash.
I remember seeing them perform that on Happy Days. Ralph Mouth in character and Potsy and the rest of the guys in their characters as performing Monster Mash on stage and the little there at Arnold.
He was afraid to go into the closet. It was a creepy something that went in there, and it was like a dead person, but it was just a zombie or something. Yes. Or a dead lady. Halloween.
There's my Halloween story right there, for Ace Halloween story for you, because you said dead. This was about 1989. I was going to college at the time because I wanted to be a PE teacher. Boy, did things change. I had to take, you were required to take an anatomy and physiology class between the 2 and 300 level. So that's like 301, 302. And I was going to Portland State, and it was brought to our attention that, yes, you will be dissecting a dead human body.
Now, did you have to use it for all that good stuff?
It don't get more Halloween than that, okay?
Oh.
But you got about seven classes that are using the same scientific donated cadaver to this experiment, okay? So I remember they took us in the room. It was in the chill room, or the ice box room, they called it. It was a human body still wrapped up in the thick, thick, thick saran wrap, so you couldn't see inside of it, but it had a tinge on it, so it was, you could just make out what it was, you know? And then the unveiling would come the following week when your classes would go in there, and they would start teaching us about muscles and tissues and ligaments and can you name this? And I remember the class I was in was in an evening class, and we were like the sixth of the seventh classes that were going to be using this person, this cadaver, okay? And I remember, I'm thinking, this is probably around Halloween time, you know? And I'm thinking, okay, I can either be scared or I can actually just say, I'm going to do this for science. You know, like a Woody Woodpecker thing. But our class went in there. They had them covered, and the teacher basically like a plastic bag or plastic that was covering the firewood took it off. 15 students all around, college age. They had a towel on top of the subject's head, and they had a towel down in his private areas. Okay, so you couldn't see everything, but the chest was already open, the flaps were back, a few things were kind of down around the ankles, and the teacher decides to say, I got an idea, okay? Now, there's a lot of, there's a heavy formaldehyde smell going all through the whole room just because it's a well-preserved creature. But the thing is, with this patient, he had gangrene. So they didn't get to preserve it fast enough because of this purpose, for whatever reason. And it kind of had like a nasty smell to it, all right? I'm laughing because at the time, I'm just... Anyway, the teacher says, I got an idea. We've already kind of pretty much made mincemeat and carved turkey at the front. Let's flip it over and go to the back. You'll have a pair of plastic gloves, rubber gloves on. She says, okay, so you guys are going to do this. I'm not. You're going to flip it over. And it's kind of in this plastic on this tray, and there's kind of this juicy juice where it's kind of bleached out in the formaldehyde and stuff in the tray. And the teacher says, oh, you got to work together. You know, half you go over here, half you go over there. You got to flip him over, and you got to be ready to catch it, or else it's going to go splash. Well, I was on the side that was helping lift. We kind of reach under, and it's kind of like you're picking up a person onto a gurney, but you're just kind of rolling them over. We all ease it over, and on the other side, there was some people not doing their job. It slipped, splash, and part of the guts and the juice go splashing on this girl, and she goes, ah! And goes running from the room. Oh, there's more to that story, but I'm going to save it for later because I want to get into my first song, which is Oingo Boingo's Dead Man Party from 1986.
I'm all dressed up with nowhere to go.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yes, there's more to that story, but I'm going to save it for later because I think there's more Halloween stories to share and get around with.
always Halloween stories.
Now, My next choice has got to be, well, you want the story or do you want my song that I've picked out for this?
Let's do the song.
1988, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince doing their take on A Nightmare on My Street.
I remember that. I don't remember it vividly, but I remember that. And it was like really spooky the way they did that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a fun song, but it's I don't even think they made a music video for it. There was a few fan-made videos, but that was about it. But I always liked that song. Very, really cool.
Story that I'd like to tell about this guy. You all know me as me scared as hell. He comes to me a night after I call into bed. He's burnt up like a weenie and his name is Fred. He wears the same hat and sweater every single day. And even if it's hot outside, he wears it anyway. He's home when I'm awake, but he shows up when I'm asleep. I can't believe that there's a nightmare on my street. If I remember it right, and we had just gotten back off tour last night. So the gang and I thought that it would be groovy if we summon up the posse and dumb rush the movies. I got Angie, Jeff got Tina, Freddy Rock got some girl I've never seen in my life. That was alright though, cause the lady was chill. Then we dipped to the theater set to Ill. We saw Elm Street and man it was death. And everything seemed alright when we left. But when I got home and laid down to sleep, that began the nightmare, but on my street. It was burning in my room like an oven. My bed soaked with sweat and man, I was bugging. I checked the clock, it had stopped at 12:30. It had melted, it was so darn hot and I was thirsty. I went downstairs to grab some juice or a coke. Flipped the TV off and then I almost choked when I heard this awful voice coming from behind. It said,
"You broke off living metal and now you must die."
Man, I ain't even wait to see who it was. Broke outside in my drawers and screamed so long cuz. Got halfway up the block, I calmed down and stopped screaming. Then thought, oh I get it, I must be dreaming. I strolled back home with a grin on my grill. I figured since this is a dream, I might as well get ill. I walked in the house, the big bad Fresh Prince. But Freddy killed all that noise real quick. He grabbed me by my neck and said,
"Here's what we'll do. We got a lot of work here, me and you. The souls of your friends, you and I will claim. Body, and I got the brain."
I said, "Yo, Fred, I think you got me all wrong. I ain't partners with nobody with nails that long. Look, I'll be honest, man, this team won't work. The girls won't be on you, Fred, your face is all burned." I pat him on the shoulder, said, "Thanks for stopping by." Then I opened up the door and said, "Take care, guy." He got mad, drew back his arm, and slashed my shirt. I laughed at first and thought, hold up, that hurt. It wasn't a dream, man, this guy was for real. I said, "Freddy, it's been an awful mistake here." No further words, and then I darted upstairs. Crashed through my door, then jumped on my bed. Pulled the covers up over my head. Said, "Oh, please do something with Fred." He jumped on my bed, but through the covers with his claws. Tried to get me, but my alarm went off. And then silence. It was a whole new day. I thought, I wasn't scared of him anyway. Until I noticed those rips in my sheets. And that was proof that there had been a nightmare on my street. Come on, Jeff, answer! Come on, man.
Hello?
Jeff, it's Prince, man. Jeff, wake up! Jeff, wake up!
What do you want?
Jeff, wake up, man. Listen to me, Jeff.
It's 3 o'clock
Jeff,
in the morning.
Listen,
what
Jeff,
do you
would
want?
You listen to me? Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
Man.
Jeff, listen to me. No, don't no. go to sleep,
I
Jeff.
You tomorrow,
Jeff,
I'm going
Jeff.
To bed.
Jeff! 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 Jeff!
Crazy.
So do you have any Halloween stories before I throw my next one out?
Yeah, I was a little kid, probably about 6 years old. I think I told this already, but this is one of my favorites. My sister might have been 3 at the time, or 7 and 4, something like that. We answered the door at our house, and these two people walked in with all kinds of, like, surgical masks, and their hair tucked back, and gloves on, and the whole thing. Like, they were just, like, going, ooh, we ran, we hid behind the chair, we ran, we hid, they were coming, ooh. I mean, you thought these were, like, walking mental cases, but it was my grandmother and my grandfather. I mean, my grandmother was a nurse, and they had all the garb going to, a Halloween party that they stopped over and saw us, and they scared us pretty good with that, because you would never think somebody's going to come to your house as a kid and go, ugh, and they would chase you, and, you know, they would just be scary. You didn't know, because it's like, you know, you're a little kid still, and it's just, oh my gosh, you know, don't hurt my mom and dad. And, yeah. Oh my gosh. And then they took their hands off. You're like, oh my gosh, I never expected that. And they laughed so hard because they scared us, and it was really neat, because that's what Halloween's about. You know, not trying to hurt people, just put a little fright and give the kids a little candy. You know, like, you know, how do you say, just very basic, simple fun. Go trick-or-treating and scare people. That's what it is, and that's what it was. And that's one of my, honestly, greatest memories of Halloween, because it's just innocent and free time, you know?
Yes.
Going out with your, you know, a couple days later with your pillowcase and or your bag and loading it up, and then you had your UNICEF for the kids. Remember, always had to get pennies and stuff, and you donated that for the UNICEF box that went into the church.
Yes, if you choose to.
Yeah, and then you did all that shit stuff, and then, you know, your candies and this and that. Then years later, they started saying about how people would spike the candies, you know, with the with razor blades and apples and stuff, and that's when you realized such a nice place.
You would always see the hospitals would start having to x-ray your candy. They would offer it for free. Remember that?
Yeah, exactly, because then people would love to have, remember the old days, I saw this a few times, but we weren't allowed to do that, bob apples on people's porches. I thought that was neat, but we couldn't, because they said people put razor blades and stuff, and you never knew.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't just neighbors, you went in the whole neighborhood. I used to go up in Maywood, we would go on blocks and blocks and just see kids all night. And then, you know, it was just great. There was no curfew and stuff. You had to be in by a regular time, maybe 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, it was done. But there was no, oh, we're going to go from 4 to 8. You went out after school, 4, 5 o'clock, 8, 9. It was great. It was fun, you know. It was just like, I don't know, rite of passage. It was great.
Oh, you could get such an inventory haul of candy when you were, as you got older and could go out on your own, you know, with a few friends. And you had that 2 hours of just, oh, you'd come back with just an humongous amount of candy.
Yeah, that's when candy, they had the Snicker bar, they had, you know, Twix. I mean, you know, you used to get, once in a while, you get like a Hershey bar. I mean, you got some good hauls, man.
Now, what's your favorite candy to this, in 2017, what is your favorite look back at candy, choice of candy for today?
Simply, because I come from Vegas, or I live in Vegas, and I have the big M&M world, M&M chocolate candy.
Yeah. Mine is going to be
the butter ones.
Go ahead.
The peanut ones, the peanut M&Ms, the bigger ones, I love them.
Yeah.
There's something different about them. You like biting into them, and that's it, but that's my favorite number one candy till today. How about yours in 2017?
My go-to
ones. What is your favorite all time?
For 2017, it's got to be the individually wrapped Twizzlers, either original Twizzlers flavor or the strawberry flavored. And I like them individually wrapped because they're the ideal for a road trip. You have to take your time, unwrap every one, and it actually slows you down from eating them so fast. It makes you enjoy it, having them individually wrapped.
Enjoyment, that's a good one. We enjoy our candy.
Well, I got a graveyard song that I think would be a good story to tell. Let's use your final choice, Friday the 13th original theme song from the movie 1980, as our lead in for my story, which is a graveyard story.
I love that, because you know why I love that? Because they filmed that originally at the, I forget the camp, because it was filmed in New Jersey. The original one was
really
filmed in New Jersey. If something, Lake something, yeah, because Kevin Bacon was in the original, actually filmed in New Jersey. Another Jersey combination slash squirrel serendipity to the entertainment world. Yeah, because who does not know Friday the 13th?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know anybody alive that doesn't know that.
The one fact I like about it is the movie only cost $550,000 to make, but it has raked in $39.7 million in its time of history.
And you know what? That's when it was scary. I mean, it was like a scary Halloween movie. Oh, go see Friday the 13th.
Yeah. You know, so let's cue the song. Let's cue the song, and then I will tell you my story. Was 1991. I was going to a monkeys convention back in Philadelphia. Virginia. I was heading to Virginia, believe it or not. And I was going to stop over in San Antonio, Texas for about 2 or 3 days to meet a friend of mine there who I'd never met before, but we were monkey friends, pen pals, if you remember that. And they ended up taking me around to some of the haunted places in the San Antonio area. And one of the places was this graveyard that was a fenced-in graveyard. This was July, so it's very hot and humid out. The constant noise of crickets, always in the background, the nighttime crickets. And
crickets.
Always crickets. The nighttime noises, you know, from, because it's I don't want to say katydids, but something like the crickets. That's my main thing. Nighttime noises. Come to a graveyard. They're taking me to a graveyard where there is a bunch of unmarked baby graves from the 1930s of babies who've died of different diseases from the refuges. And so they just would bury them in an unmarked grave, okay? And it was said that there was this spirit there that would watch over them in case thinking somebody was going to hurt them. But
oh, really?
It was this old, but to get into it, you had to be very quiet. Here's the challenging thing. You had to be very quiet because there was a caretaker nearby in a trailer, and if they heard any noises, they're going to come out. Because they don't want anybody to damage the tombs, the gravestones, what they were having problems with. But there was a squeaky old water pump. You had to pump. You pump it 3 times, and then you would go in for respect, okay? Also, Texas, you got a lot of snakes who are basically... So, yeah, you got all this going on, okay? The snakes would get down near the tombstones, because it was cool near the granite. And so you were having to do this kind of thing where you would drag your feet, try to make noise as to scare them off so they won't come near you, and trying to maintain your dignity of whatever you have. So we ended up...
Oh, my gosh.
You'd have to walk through this black, thick area, a lot of trees, so it really kind of takes out the horizon, the light of the horizon that would shine in. What would be the left back corner of this graveyard, back to where they had that, like these little frames that were marked out where the babies would be, but no headstones. And so we walk back there, and here's the thing: I got a video camera running the whole time, the old industrial video camera running without the light turned on.
Oh, spooky!
Yes. So we end up getting back about maybe two-thirds. Imagine a football field, and you're about maybe two-thirds or 80% of the way back. Well, one of the other guys, I think his name is Tony, he says, okay, do you hear that? And here's the thing. I don't know what he's talking about. You hear that? I think it's time to go. It's time to go. Yep. So they start walking ahead of me, and I'm still kind of like walking along, not realizing why it is that I have no idea why it is we have to leave now. And you kind of start feeling this thing coming towards you, this era of Odinus. I don't know what to say it. It's kind of, I'm getting creepy just talking about it. But it's almost
like, eerie, like dead bodies are like following you.
Yeah, or something. Whatever it is, the spirit, this Odin, I'm going to call it, that was watching over the babies that comes towards it and basically shoos out whatever's there. And so it's almost to the point where you're not running, but you're kind of jogging, but still walking and just walking fast. Because you can't, it's said that this Odin of the cemetery cannot get out of beyond the gate, okay? So you get to the gate, you close it, you go to the water pump, 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 pump three times, okay? And then we turn back around, and then I'm like, why did we hurry? I'm like, you don't feel that, you don't hear that. And I'm like, what? Do you hear the crickets? And I'm like, no, I don't. Exactly.
Whatever. You talk about spooky.
Yeah, wow. And then so I point my video camera back, panning left to right to do once over the cemetery. And there's this kind of like this red hue that you see. It's not like a fog, not a mist, but kind of like a red light over the area of where we were. And it just to do this pan looking back over this area and then to hear no crickets. And then I go back and I used to watch the videotape and it would just spook the shit out of me at the time. Here's the thing though, the videotape is pretty much destroyed and not even useful anymore. I can try to look for it. I doubt it exists, but that's my story of the Odin, the demon that would watch over the baby caskets and the burial grounds.
That sounds really creepy. Halloween, not to forget.
It was. So I think that sums up our Halloween podcast for this year.
Every ghoul and goblin, the little creeper, the little jeepers, the little Draculas and Frankenstein. Happy Halloween!